And here's another Open Science Radio episode from the Barcamp Open Science. With me is Susika and Luke, and they will introduce shortly themselves. So what are you guys doing in general, and what are you doing here?
So I am Susika Schuurts. I'm an assistant professor at Leiden University at the Psychology Institute. And I'm also a founding member of the Open Science Community Leiden in the Netherlands. And well, what I'm doing here is getting inspiration on open science practices, policy even. And we are also organizing an Open Science Barcamp ourselves in the end of May in the Netherlands, 29th of May. And we are also getting here. We are here to get some inspiration on that, how to organize that.
Hi, I'm Luke Brinkman. I'm an assistant professor at Utrecht Medical Center. And I'm the founder and community manager of Open Science Community Utrecht. And yeah, as Susika already mentioned, we're here to get some inspiration on open science and also to talk about why we started with an open science community, how we did that, to share with the other attendees what formats worked for us and what format didn't, and also to together maybe co-create some new formats that we can use to further inspire other people to open up their workflows.
As I was not in the session, so I've no workflow that happened. There were any process that happened. So how did you start that? So what was the key question or the main question, or was it mainly for sharing your experiences? And what were the takeaways that you had out of the session?
So we it was a bit meant as a practical session to exchange experiences, but also to mainly share our experience and why we opened this open science communities, what we did with that, and how exactly we approached this. So that was actually one of our main goals, to share this with the attendees. And there were people in here who were not part of a science community, open science community, and who would like to be, others that started similar initiatives, so we were able to exchange experience based on that.
Yeah, so I think that many people at different levels are working to advance open science and to make open science a new norm. And in that sense, in one of our slides, we have a pyramid, which is from one of the works of Brian Nozick, where he describes that there are, as I said, many people working at different levels. People are building new infrastructure to make open science possible. That's on the bottom end of the pyramid, and on the higher end, policymakers shaping new reward systems more geared towards working open. And in the middle of that, it says communities, and I think that's where we come in to bridge the gap between researchers and policymakers, and also to get researchers to create a learning platform for them where they can share experiences and share practices with the overarching goal of to make open science normative. And I think we're now in a really interesting phase where these policies are being formulated, but at the same time we don't know what it will look like exactly. And this is really the place of the time where researchers can learn from each other and speak up how they want how they want to be rewarded and what open science practices work for them in practice, and what kind of support they need to adhere to these principles.
Yeah, the rewarding system is really one of the crucial parts here, right? Because everything is connected to this. You will, yes, there are always some people who, let's say, work on this because they believe in the good result of that, but still, in the end, they have to get a position in order to survive, right? So what are maybe, if we can dive slightly into a little bit into that, what are your recommendations or what are your experiences in terms of this and how to change this rewarding system?
Well, from the point of view of creating an open science community, I think with that it's important to create together like a body that you're visible. So very practically have a logo and a name. And with that, you also create visibility towards these, well, policymakers and people who think about reshaping the reward system to show that, okay, listen, we really want to do this and it's really important. And why is it important to emphasize on that? And to, for instance, already at the education level with employees, with staff, to make sure that the policymakers, they recognize that that rewards should be given. How do you have any additions to that?
I think changing or reshaping the rewards and incentive structures is not the core task or reason that we started with open science communities, but it's related. So the main focus of the open science communities is bringing together researchers that have some experience in open science and create a learning environment where we can learn from each other. So learning practical skills from each other, learning new skills, I think that's the core of the community. But at the same time, we are a group of researchers with an interest in open science and who are taking the first steps in making the workflows more open. So we have a lot of experience with the hurdles that you encounter when making your workflows more open. And also, which I think we are in a good position to indicate what kind of how you would like to be evaluated. So for example, maybe making your data openly available may not be part of how you're evaluated at this point. But if you think that this is the right way to go, if this is beneficial for the impact of your work, then this is the time also to speak up. And I think the open science community, I mean, it's not its core goal, but it can be a vehicle to express also to policymakers how these policies should be shaped and implemented, and also what kind of support should be provided.
I have the feeling that you in the Netherlands are sometimes more agile in terms of adaptation of these kind of things, because you are, let's say, in comparison to Germany, maybe to France, you have a smaller population. I think this is really an advantage that you can be faster in pushing basically as a community into politics. Maybe I'm wrong with this. I guess as you have not worked on both countries so far, but I see that you are in many steps or many things, some steps ahead of us, I would say. So I really appreciate that you also share these kind of experience here, as you are, I guess, a little bit further in some facets already. So what would you like to add on this?
Maybe? I would like to add on that because, yes, I think as a country, I mean, we're smaller than Germany. That's true. We have less inhabitants. But I think what is important here, and that came also back into the discussion during the session, is that an open science community like ours, we are one community per university. And I think the university sizes between the countries don't differ that much. So when it comes to that, when it comes to specific university policy, I think any country, any university could try to approach it in this way.
That's a very good point. Do you see also certain differences between, let's say, the different communities of the different universities? Are some having a harder time, or is there a domination of certain cultures that are facilitating or hampering certain developments?
Well, I think several aspects. For instance, first of all, is the interdisciplinarity. What we see in our community, at least, is that we started from the Faculty of Social Sciences, and that is also the largest part of the members and the active members that are part of our community. So we are still trying, we're still aiming to make the community more interdisciplinary, to also be inclusive to other scholars, not just the quantitative sciences, but also qualitative sciences. But I think also it really depends, the recognition of an open science community also depends on how, for instance, the deans or other important persons there, when it comes to policy, how they recognize also the importance of open science. And I think in Leiden we have been very lucky that recently they started an open science program, and they're really recognizing, and there might be some funding available even. And I think that might differ per university, and I hope that will change, of course, and that will be recognized more broad.
Yeah. So I'm pretty amazed by how quickly the whole idea of open science communities picked up in the Netherlands. So we started in Utrecht about 2 years ago, and the number of members was rapidly increasing, and then within a time span of 1.5 years, we have nine other communities, or nine communities in total in the Netherlands, nine different universities. And I'm really, really amazed and really happy with that. This picks up so quickly. And in Utrecht, we also have the privilege that from the highest level at university, people recognize that this is an important initiative and they support it. And in the beginning, also it heavily depended on the social science faculty, and I think that's for the far majority of communities. But we paid a lot of attention to also advertise and talk about the open science community in all faculties. So now we have members in Utrecht from all different all seven faculties of Utrecht University, and we even as of this year we have acquired extra funding to have open science ambassadors that work for half a day a week per faculty. So, and these are eyes and ears within the faculty that actively promote the community amongst researchers in this faculty. And that helps tremendously, because I'm also an outsider to many faculties, and it's to have someone from within the faculty to advocate for the community, for us that really made a big difference.
Okay, so to wrap it up, some final words or some final learnings that you maybe took out of the session? Or anything to share with us?
Well, what I think is also important, what I also realized during the session, what I already, of course, had in the back of my mind, is that the fact that we are a bottom-up community, that we are mainly researchers ourselves who are struggling with adapting open science in our workflow, that makes us accessible. And I think that might be important. That, of course, there should also be experts that can be asked to, you know, give advice, give workshops, but I think the accessibility here is a crucial aspect. Otherwise, the community won't grow that fast.
One of the things that I took out of the session is we had some talk on a new format, a mentorship program, where over a longer span of time, a group of people will be mentors in achieving a certain aspect of open science. So, for example, making their first data set openly available or doing their first preprint. And I think this is a really important addition to the toolkit that we have of open science communities. And I'm really looking forward to piloting it and to putting it into practice, because I think now we are reaching a lot of people. So we have two goals. One is to reach outside of the open science bubble, or outside of the usual suspects that you encounter on every conference on open science, or at least the same kind of people. So we want to reach beyond that bubble to also reach researchers who just have an interest in open science, but where open science is not part of their regular workflows. And I think we're doing a pretty good job there. We are growing really fast, and we have a lot of members who are just interested in open science and don't have any experience as of yet. But our second aim is to also to inspire behavioral change, to have people make their workflows open. And I think we're getting there, but we can be more effective there. And I hope that this mentorship program will add to that.
All right. You mentioned already in the beginning that you are organizing a barcamp yourself. Maybe we can talk about this very shortly.
So that's on the 29th of May in Utrecht at SURF. We have spots, I think 70 spots in total. You know the exact numbers. And we try to attract people like librarians, supporting people, but also researchers themselves. We notice here that the amount of researchers maybe was not as large, but with us there will be probably more researchers also visiting. So we will then offer probably more sessions with specific toolboxes and applications of open science.
Yeah, so we aim for 80% researchers, and there are still a couple of tickets available. So if you go quickly to the website, it's on the website of the project Accelerate Open Science. So that's www.accelerateopenscience.nl. And there you can find the information on the Open Science Barcamp, and there you can also register to obtain one of the last tickets.
Great. Thank you so much for your time, and yeah, hope to see you soon again. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.